accattato no cammello, m'ha accattato no turbante, no turbante a rinascere, come un occhio rosso, come un occhio rosso. Covia schemano da morire, cerco padroni americani, mentre ballano i bedui, mentre cantano le tribù, mentre cantano le tribù, mentre cantano le tribù.
John Turturro's latest film, Passione, is a tribute to the music and people of Naples. Mr. Turturro serves as both its director and narrator, and even makes an appearance in one of the music videos in the film. It opens tomorrow at Film Forum on West Houston Street and runs through July 15th, with screenings daily at 1, 2:50, 4:40, 6:30, etc. throughout the day. It's Mr. Turturro's fourth as a director, and it's my great pleasure to welcome him back to our show today. Hello.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Are you one of those actors who had always wanted to direct?
I think when I was younger, when I was a little boy, I used to write little short versions of movies that I saw. I think I did a version of the Ten Commandments and my friend Joey Fersh's farm in Rosedale.
How'd you do the Parting of the Red Sea?
It was in the tomato patch.
Well, your previous movies were regular story films, although Romance and Cigarettes had musical sequences. How did you come up with the structure of this film?
Well, I was invited to do the film because Romance and Cigarettes had very good distribution in Italy and did very well there.
I understand you're bigger than Robert De Niro in Italy.
I don't know. I've had some of my films have done quite well in Europe and particularly in Italy. And they knew I had worked there. I had done a play, which I did in New York, called Souls of Naples, which is the original title is Questi Fantasmi by Eduardo Di Filippo. And I performed it in Naples with my cousin Aida and Max Casella.
In English.
In English and a little bit in Neapolitan. There were some songs in it too. And we had a wonderful experience. And so they invited me. They knew I liked music and was interested in Neapolitan culture. And I had worked with Francesco Rosi, who's from Naples, and he directed me in The Truce, the Primo Levi adaptation. And so I had a musicologist and a journalist, Federico Vacalebre, who writes for Il Mattino in Naples. And he was sort of my tutor for about 2 years, exposing me to all different kinds of music from Renaissance, predating that, from 1300 to now. And we would try to select a group of songs that we thought would be interesting. And, he was under a lot of pressure to cover all the different facets of Neapolitan culture.
Well, you grew up in New York, which is often called the melting pot. But you say in the film that Naples is the original melting pot of world music. And well, we opened with something that didn't sound very Italian to me. It sounded very Arabic.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Middle Eastern influence there, Northern African. There's a lot of Spanish in Neapolitan in the language, and French also. It was originally a Greek city. Then it was a Roman city.
Neapolis.
So, yeah, Neapolis.
And New city.
That's right. And that's, they have the underground Naples that you can go to. So it's been a place that's, been invaded by everyone, much like Sicily. And much of their music did, travel. It traveled out when people used to buy sheet music, all over the world. I mean, in the Middle East, people in Israel, for example, there's a singer, Noah, who we wanted in the movie, who sings all the songs in Hebrew. And that would have been an interesting combination with some of the Arabic influences we have.
Well, how did you wind up choosing the performers for the film?
Were there tryouts? Well, I would listen to music, and then, if I knew they were living singers, I would say, I'd like to meet this person or whatever. And when I met certain people, you could tell right away they would be interesting subjects on camera. And I was also interested to see if there were people who could sustain a musical performance on camera.
Well, maybe I'm wrong, but it's always been my sense that there's less of an Italian rock music tradition than in most of the other European countries.
There is.
If you want rock, you're going to listen to American or English rock, but Italian music remains very specifically Italian or shows all these other influences that you reveal in this film.
There was some rock and roll. There was, new music. Pino Daniele, who sings Napoli A at the end, he sort of did, new Italian rock influence, but also influenced by, Neapolitan culture in the 70s with the other fella, James Senese, who's in the movie. But they had a... There's a rock scene. There's people who do rap, neo-melodic. But still, they've kept their own culture has still, survived because I think it's such a long one. And also the relationship between popular and classical music in a city like Naples is there's been a huge exchange between those two groups.
You mentioned James Senese. He's a black Italian musician. His mother was Italian. His father, an American GI?
Right, from North Carolina.
How did you find him? Was he famous there?
He's very well known there. And when I listened to his music, I really liked it. And then when I met him, he spoke some Italian, which I could speak a little bit, but he speaks most of the time in Neapolitan. And he's a really authentic Neapolitan.
And how different is Neapolitan?
Another language.
More than just a dialect?
It's more than just a dialect. Matter of fact, they had their own film business for a long time when films were just being created. And once sound came in, their films were subtitled in Italy, in Italian. They were subtitled. And matter of fact, our film in Italy, which has done very, very well, is subtitled. The songs in Neapolitan are subtitled in Italian.
That must cause a lot of trouble for Neapolitans who move to other parts of Italy. Is that why so many wound up coming to the United States?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why. There's a lot of, poverty there. I mean, it's one of the places where the first tenements were built, and you want to say sort of like slum life, was kind of created. In Italy, Italy is much more like a continent than a country.
As small as it is. I think it's as big as Arizona.
Is it?
Something like that, or maybe New Mexico, one of those states.
Well, they have 32, you can say they're dialects, but many people, once you go into it, would say they would have almost 32 different languages.
And you mentioned French and Spanish, I'd expect, because it used to be controlled by Spain.
But France also controlled
really?
Naples, yes.
Because before unification, Italy was broken up and owned by a whole bunch of different countries.
Right, and that was the kingdom of two Sicilies, and Naples was the capital of that. But yes, the French, there's actually a funny story about San Gennaro, who was supposed to protect them against all natural disasters. They were
and now
accused.
Just is responsible for a noisy feast that used to drive me crazy when I lived down in Chinatown.
Well, people don't realize why, San Gennaro is so, they're so superstitious there. People are really superstitious, more than almost being religious. But there's a very funny story that the French were accused of collaborating with San Gennaro because, his blood, it has to liquefy, twice a year. Otherwise, there's disaster, which has been actually come to pass, believe it or not. Anyway, the blood wasn't liquefying, and I guess the French officer put the gun to the priest's head and said, "Listen, that better liquefy." And then they did, and then they accused him of collaborating, and then they threw the statue of San Gennaro. This was hundreds of years ago in the water. They brought a new saint in, San Antonio Abate. And they thought he was pretty good. He could help with certain kind of disasters, but he was only good with man-made disasters. They decided he didn't have the potente to the power to deal with natural disasters. So they brought San Gennaro back. So this is really it's a really fascinating culture. I mean, Norman Lewis wrote this great book, Naples 44, about it, which is a wonderful book and really. It's very precise in its description about people who are really educated but are completely superstitious at the same time.
Well, I mentioned earlier that your previous films have all been story films. This mm-hmm. one starts off looking like a documentary, and the first line is, there are places that you go to and once is enough, and then there's Napoli. But it quickly becomes a collection of music videos. It becomes a travelogue. You kind of mixed a lot of different things, and each song does have a story attached to it.
Yeah, well, I thought within the limited means that we had, would it be more potent to have the music speak about the city and tell a particular story than have people talk about it and only have clips of music? And once I saw that many of the performers could sustain the song, I thought, well, this would be an interesting way to go. It would be maybe a little bit more adventurous. Some are done very simply in a concert style. Others are done with a lot more movement. And I thought, let's try to get the music, let the music speak for the city.
My guest is John Turturro, who's has a couple of films coming to town. There's Passione, which opens tomorrow at Film Forum, and it runs until July 5th, and of course there's Cars 2, is it?
Yeah, yes, I'm an Italian race car, which was very...
Are you getting typecast, John?
No, but I was able to use my experience.
Are you speaking better Italian, or are you speaking Neapolitano?
Neapolitan is quite difficult, you know, but it's beautiful to sing.
I mentioned James Sinese, the black Italian musician, saxophone player. He says in the film that growing up, kids would make fun of him because of his skin color. But we don't get to hear him elaborate on that because you wanted to keep the music the focal point of the film?
I don't think he goes into it that much. He said, you know, when things came to pass, you know, people would say racist things to him.
He said, but he wasn't the only child of mixed race, I'm sure, after World War II.
No, there was plenty of them. I mean, let's face it, there were a lot of babies that were born after World War II. If you were white, you wouldn't be as easily recognized. If you were black, they would recognize you a little, you know, it would be a little easier to recognize you.
Another video that tells a great story is
Malafemna.
By Antonio De Curtis. De Curtis is a very Italian name, isn't it?
Yes. Well, that's Toto. That's the original. That's Toto's real name.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And what's that song about?
Well, that song is about a woman who's, you know, been a very bad woman, and she's, you know, he says, Well, most men would kill you if you did to me what you did to them. And basically the whole story of the song is very interesting, which I tried to kind of highlight, was that Toto was a big womanizer and he had all these lovers, and his wife said, okay, fine, you know, we'll stay together, we'll live together until our daughter is 18 and then she leaves. But I guess she couldn't take it eventually, and she left him and married a lawyer, and when he threw him into immense despair, so he wrote this song about a bad woman who's, you know, and he's such an honest guy, and she's not honest, and most men would have taken it out on her. So I thought the hypocrisy of that was very interesting.
And you could tell that story as a filmmaker.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, some things we did in a form of, they call it sceneggiata, which is they build a story around the film.
One of the people who doesn't perform in the film, is because he died 10 years ago, is Renato Carosone. You say that today he'd be called a rapper. I don't think you mean that as an insult either.
No. I think he was really, you know, he liked rock and roll. He liked music that you could dance to, music that you could also, you know, have a social commentary. One of the songs he wrote was about, you know, a guy looking for oil in Naples, and he buys a camel and he buys a turban, and, you know, they're looking for American petrol, you know, and this was after the war, obviously. So he was a really inventive guy, and he wrote a lot of wonderful songs.
And in the music video for his Caracon Petrol, there's a surprise backup dancer. Did you always plan I mean, did these videos sometimes turn out to be as surprising to you?
Well, you know, sometimes we would just have the song, someone would sing the song, you know, and sometimes in that case we shot it in a solfatera, and Fiorello is the main performer. But we needed some other dancers, and I had to jump into action over there, so to help out a little bit and fill out the frame.
A remix of another one of his songs became popular in American pop music this past year. That was called, I only know the Italian, to Divuo Fa l'Americano.
Yeah, Tu Fa Americano, si, si. And that's always that made it here in the 60s and stuff. And I think actually they sing that song in the Matt Damon film about Ripley.
And that's why it became popular here. Yeah. You've heard me try to pronounce Italian words now. Italians don't understand a thing I'm saying when I go to Italy. I try.
You're trying. they're encouraging when you try.
So where do you go from here? Are you going to be directing more films?
Well, I'm going to be directing these three one-acts on Broadway, one by Woody Allen, one by Elaine May, and one by Ethan Coen, called Relatively Speaking.
So you're going to be doing theater productions of filmmakers' plays?
Yeah, I guess so. And they're all directors. So I'm in the hot seat over there. So that'll be something interesting. And, you know, I'm going to be doing a film version of this book, God's Behaving Badly, this summer. And I hope to do another film next spring.
Well, do you miss the theater? Because you were in one of the best Godots I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. I mean, I did Godot and I did Endgame, both of them. So I'm you know, right now preparing to do, after the one acts, to do The Cherry Orchard with Diane Wiest.
And right now you can
see at CSC.
John Turturro's Passione is at the Film Forum. It runs until July 5th, right? And of course you can see, or you can hear him in Cars 2.
Right.
And thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Pistol down, baby, lay that pistol down. Pistol talking, mama, lay that pistol down.